You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.
Experimentation.
Vision.
The next idea.
People mean very different things whenever they talk about innovation.
Would you be willing to take a vacation centered around helping, perhaps through a church group or a school group, maybe teaching English, maybe building a school in a struggling country? It's called voluntourism. Intentions are good, but the results, they might not be as helpful as the voluntourists are hoping for. Good intentions misplaced? Well, let's talk about the problems inherent in voluntourism and how churches, schools, and organizations can pivot away from that surface-level voluntourism model and move toward a community-engaged, deeper investment with communities and with people. Mary Jo Callen is here with us, director of the Edward Ginsberg Center for Community Service and Learning at the University of Michigan. Hello, Mary Jo.
Hello, Cynthia.
Good to have you with us. And from West Michigan, we get to say hello to Christy Gleason, who's Senior Director of Global Programs at Bethany Global. Hello, Christy.
Good afternoon.
Good to have you with us. I want to start by understanding the work that you both do. Christy, what is your mission at Bethany Global?
To bring and keep families together. So our main goal really is getting children that have been either separated from their families or have lost their parents either due to war or other issues, and placing them into what we call alternative family-based care, which is foster care, kinship care, programs like that.
Within the countries, within their home countries.
Correct.
And Mary Jo Callen, what does the Ginsberg Center do?
To cultivate community relationships and connect community needs, resources, and interests to faculty and student talents at the University of Michigan.
On the ground, that would mean what? I'm a student and I might want to spend my break doing something. Would you then try to connect me with a worthy program?
Yes, we definitely connect lots of students who have great intentions and want to do good in the world. We also help faculty who want to infuse that methodology of community engagement into their courses, help them do that in a thoughtful, authentic, and respectful way.
And what we're talking about here is local, it's national, and it's international, correct?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Give me a sense of how, when I talk about voluntourism, what does it mean to you, Mary Jo?
Voluntourism to us really connotes a frame of mind, frankly, that is often folks with relative privilege and power, whether or not they feel it day to day, who have great intentions and take time, which is great, to help save, fix those who are less fortunate, less well off than themselves. We applaud the intent. How it often gets played out, though, is thinking of folks who are marginalized or who are economically less well off as subjects, as objects, as less than. We really try to help students, faculty, and others who want to work with us be more thoughtful in how they engage and think about the community, as frankly, just like us.
And Christy, how about you? What is your characterization of voluntourism?
We've seen a very large increase in the number of people who are coming to Bethany Christian Services and Bethany Global wanting to have a deeper, more intimate relationship with the work that they want to do. They don't want to just be tourists. They want to go and they want to give back. They want to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves.
So that's very laudable.
It's great intentions. It's great. And I think the idea of voluntourism in its pure concept is actually a really good idea. I want to go and I don't want to just take from a culture or from a community that I'm visiting. I want to be able to give back. With intentions being great, I think that's a great idea. The problem becomes where there's not such a great fit between the skill set of the people going overseas and the issues and the needs of the community in which they've been placed. How do we appropriately offer opportunities for people to come and work in our programs overseas where we keep children safe, where we keep the volunteers safe, but have an impact and a sustainable change that can be created in a relatively short amount of time?
Mary Jo, can this kind of help that we're describing, the more surface level, let me go in for a couple of weeks and I'll help build a school someplace that I think needs it. How can that actually be more damaging to a community than helpful?
Well, I want to be clear that sometimes it can be helpful.
Yes. There
is sometimes a place for all range of helping. I think where we see it is less helpful and sometimes even damaging is we see it in a couple of ways. Mm-hmm. One, often we decide, we as the volunteers or the voluntourists or the organizer of the voluntourism decides what the community needs are, what the project will be, and really sort of some folks sort of talk about it as benevolent invasion. We decide how it's going to be. We then impose our view of it that often is from very far away or certainly not really deeply engaged in understanding what the community needs or ever asking them what the need is. That's one way it can be damaging. It takes time on the ground. Whether it's an organization, a neighborhood, a community group, it takes time for them to help support those volunteers who are doing the project. You know, one way is just we decide how it's going to be without ever asking. And then, you know, from our perspective and certainly thinking about it from a student education lens, what are the takeaways? Who gets to decide? Who gets to be a part of decision making in our communities, in this world? And how do we change students, again, well-intentioned, very conscientious, but limited experience and notions about how we engage in a sustainable community?
Christy, Bethany Global uses a community-engaged model. You kind of started to describe that. Take us a little deeper and tell us what that means.
The way that we build our programs is very much from the ground up. So we have a model of foster care, a model of family-based care that gets children out of orphanages and off the streets into foster families in the countries that they live in. We have a model that's been developed here in the States. However, it's been piloted now in 8 countries. But when we start a program in a country, we hire local staff. We have country directors who are working very much in partnership with local government, local resources, the local church, in order to build a program that is, one, appropriate for the children that we're trying to serve, but also that fits into the community as it is. So while I have oversight and sort of monitor how the program is going, all of the day-to-day decisions, the programs that are being done, the trainings that are being held are all done in the community by people of that local community.
On that local level that you work in through the Ginsburg Center, Mary Jo, I can hear you say it is so crucial to avoid that appearance of the helper coming in to help the less privileged, that appearance of I know what's best for you. How do you guard against that as you determine where to place volunteers?
We spend a lot of our time thinking about that and making sure that we create authentic, reciprocal, mutually beneficial relationships. So how do we do it? When we talk with university actors, whether that's students, faculty, staff, who want to do good, it's starting from a good intention, we ask them to think about some questions. One, how do they know what the need is in the community? Have they asked? And often that's why they come to us. So what we do is we make sure that we're actually taking an outside-in approach to community engagement, community engaged learning, teaching, and research. We spend a lot of time going into communities, into neighborhoods, into networks to ask, what are the needs? And bring those needs back to the university. So it's really doing a 180 on the approach we often take, which is we come up with good ideas and we go find a community partner to help. This is taking really talented folks who want to do good and sharing with them, here are the high impact opportunities that the community has identified that they need. You know, it's so obvious. You ask, what do you need? Whether you're working, whether you're a student, whether you're a community member, whether you're part of a church group,
yes. And
you want to help, start by asking. Start by listening to what the community, whatever that community is. There's obviously the community is not a monolith. Find out what are the issues you're interested in? What are the deeper root causes of those issues? That's another thing we think a lot about and help our students and folks who are working with us think through. Before you engage, learn about the issue. Learn about the cause of the issue so that in 50 years, maybe it won't be an issue. And then be willing to hear what is actually needed, because how you want to volunteer, how you want to engage may not be what is needed. To Christy's earlier point, you may not have the specialized skills that are needed in a particular setting. Listen to that partner, listen to that community group, and plug in how they need you to.
Because I bet in some cases, rather than somebody coming down and who's never done it before, trying to lift bricks and help build something, write a check. It may not feel the same, but the money that you might spend on this could be used in the community. So you really do have to listen. Christy, what do you want to add to that?
Being open to what is actually needed. Lots of people want to go and they want to have this impact and they want to be a part of things. And maybe there's an opportunity that's really, really appropriate, such as building a house or, you know, moving bricks or stones. But especially in an international context, the issues and huge barriers that our communities are facing are very complex. And so it's a lot more difficult to sort of jump in, be there for 2 or 3 weeks, and then sort of jump out and really still have an impact in a sustained manner. I love that idea of being open to what's actually needed. We spend a lot of time having conversations and trainings with our interns that we do send overseas to that exact point, what really is necessary, what really is needed, and then being open to what the people on the ground are telling you. Yes, you want to maybe go and do one thing, but if that's not going to help anybody, then you have to put that aside, put your expectations to one side, put your cultural understandings sort of away to really be open to what really is needed. I think that's probably the best way to enter into communications about volunteerism is, are you, as a person who wants to do a project like that, are you open to being asked to do something that maybe you weren't thinking that you would want to do?
So it sounds like step one is kind of check your ego at the door and kind of then step through and see what you see.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yes.
Interesting thoughts from Christy Gleason of Bethany Global in West Michigan and Mary Jo Callen, director of the Edward Ginsberg Center for Community Service and Learning at the University of Michigan, on volunteerism. Thank you so much to both of you for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you for having us.
Support for the next idea on Stateside comes from Michigan Economic Development Corporation, committed to marketing Michigan to drive job growth and investment in our communities. MichiganBusiness.org.